So are you trying to tell me that if Enable stays in training, she's still not as good as Dahlia? Like, what are you trying to say?
I remember Dahlia. Now, Dahlia ran before you were even born, so I am an authority on Dahlia. But I'm not even so sure Dahlia is the best mare that
I've ever seen. So if Enable stays in training and she wins the arc again...
I could change my mind.
You can always change your mind. All right, Seagull. You're listening to the Backstretch Podcast. We're already agreeing
this is our pre-game
disagree.
Show. Our pregame show,
on
right?
A yeah. lot of things. Earlier today, we did actually find some form of discussion about Enable.
We did. And I before we get into Enable, I got to welcome you back, though.
Because thank you.
We missed you last week. Patrick filled in nicely, but you were up in the Pacific Northwest and with your RV. You must have had a good time.
I'm telling you, pictures cannot do the Oregon coast justice. It is absolutely beautiful. The weather was perfect. Got a little bit of rain. And I traveled up through Oregon, across to Portland, up to Washington, and down past Yosemite on my way home. 2,500 miles.
Wow.
And a lot of podcasts.
I
listened to a lot of podcasts.
I'll bet
on
you
my
did.
Way.
See, I could never do that. Really? I can't. I can take like 2 days off, and then all of a sudden I got withdrawals from not working. You know.
But you're headed up north. And
I
you
am.
Washed your car yourself.
Yeah, I did wash my car. That was the first time I did that since 2013.
Wow.
Usually, not the car's been washed, but not just by me. You know.
By hand.
Well, yeah.
At home.
I got a lot done this week, and while I was washing my car and thinking about the good time you were having. In your RV, I was thinking about what's going to happen here at Santa Anita in the next couple of weeks, because this is going to be fun. This is a good time. This is the best time of the year because the championship racing is going to happen here right in our own backyard. The horses are starting to come in. I was kind of hoping that Enable would be here, but she's not. But you know something, breaking news this morning, that she's not coming, but she's not retiring either. That's good.
That's awesome news, and I heard that this morning. Earlier on, it was tweeted, Teddy Grimthorpe tweeting that she will stay in training, and the goal simply is to win a third arc. She almost did it. She almost did it last week. Some say maybe Frankie pulled the trigger too soon. Mm-hmm. I think the ground got to her at the end of the day, and she just got beat. She got beat a length and a half. Like, it wasn't like she got beat a nose.
No, that's true. And, of course, Enable, the Breeders' Cup Turf winner of 2018. We were kind of hoping that she'd come
Absolutely.
Out here for a swan song. But 13 out of 15 lifetime, her record for trainer John Gosden. She will be age 6 next year. But instead of being sent home and being bred, which is very unusual at this stage of the modern times anyway, Enable will run again as a 6-year-old with the ultimate goal, another arc. So I'm sure John Gosden's happy about that. She only had 4 starts this year, so I understand why. But there is, I won't say a prejudice, that's not the right word, but it is really unusual now for owners, trainers, breeders, whoever, to want their mares running at age 6.
Off the top of your head, name a couple that ran at 6. We already mentioned one, the Great Dahlia.
Right. Well, Zenyatta, for one, we know that. Now, I don't know whether Southern Hemisphere counts or not, but Winx, for sure, we know that. So that's 2 that I can think of. I know the mare because I had something to do with her, Wishing Well, and the Dam of Sunday Silence. She ran at age 6. You can go back before and after that. There are a lot of others.
I've got a few more. Okay. This is from our friend Nick Luck. He tweeted that these are some of the best mares to run at age 6. Dahlia. Triptical, Winx, Azari, Zenyatta, Maccabee Diva, Snow Fairy, who didn't run at age 6, but she was kept in training, Black Caviar, and of course, sure. Beholder.
So, yeah, Beholder, for sure. There's another one.
Yeah.
I should have remembered her, absolutely. But it's unusual because usually at that stage, the breeder or the owner would rather have a foal out of the mare than have her race again. I understand that. I get that. But... I think it's great.
Tip of the hat to Judmont.
Absolutely.
Big tip of the hat.
And I don't know whether we'll see her out next year running in the Breeders' Cup. Well, maybe. You never know. But the bottom line is she is going to running. We miss her. But now there are some dominoes falling because of this. And I ask you, if Enable is not going to run now in the Breeders' Cup turf, will that impact Chad Brown's plans with Bricks and Mortar? Because he, as of this morning, he had... said, I haven't made up my mind whether I'm going to run him in the Breeders' Cup mile or the mile and a half, the turf. And he's got He's got some ammunition in the mile, but I'm not so sure he has anybody in the mile and a half that would be considered a slam dunk. So maybe Bricks and Mortars now gets moved to the mile and a half.
Hey, listen, this is the simple crux of the matter. Bricks and Mortar is 5 for 5. There'd been talk of him going in the Classic.
Right. On the dirt?
On the dirt, but, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. He's 5 for 5 this year alone. He's won at a mile and a quarter. If you are ever, ever in your lifetime as a racehorse going to get the distance of a mile and a half, this is the place to do it. They will still utilize some of the downhill turf course to cross over going a mile and a half distance. The track is firm, it's fast, it's fair. If he's ever going to get a mile and a half, it's going to be here, Siegel.
All I know is that yesterday I had to walk from my house to the car repair guy, and I live on the top of a hill. You know that.
It was easy going down.
So I walked down, and I got there in 20 minutes. I hadn't even walked. So trust me, when you're going downhill, it's like you're not even doing anything. Bricks and Mortars will get a mile and a half going downhill. You've got 2 miles going downhill. Everybody would do that. And I think at this stage of the game, since he just won Arlington Million at a mile and a quarter, he's already won a mile and a quarter.
He's fresh. He's fit. Why not?
There's also less chance of trouble going a mile and a half than you go a mile. I mean, mile, you could get in traffic and get a bad draw. There is no doubt in my mind that Bricks and Mortars belongs in the mile and a half. I don't know whether he's going to run there or not, but I have a hunch Chad Brown's going to say, I got Uni for the other race anyway, so why not go? Now, I don't think Bricks and Mortars would have gone in the mile and a half if an Able had showed up. So there's a lot of dominoes falling here.
There's going to be a lot of dominoes, right. A lot of jockey changes, but let's get back to it. We are playing Agree to Disagree, and which side of the fence do you stand? So we've already discussed Enable. Let's discuss point number 2. Due to the extremely deep and testing nature of the Santa Anita main track, do you agree or disagree that no horse without at least one recent race or workout at Santa Anita will win a Breeders' Cup dirt race?
I agree with that.
I don't see
that's fair enough. Now let me state my case and you tell me otherwise. Now we're talking about dirt only, not the grass.
Correct.
This main track, and I've been watching the races here, it's getting slower by the day. Now it may be getting safer by the day, which is all I care about. I don't care how fast or slow they run, but it is slow and you better be dead fit. And I think with a workout, it may not make you fitter, but at least it'll give the handicapper an idea whether they get over the ground that well.
So what happens if you work badly here and your horse is already here? Do you say, well, I'm not running. I'm 3 to 5, but I'm not going to run because you work slow over the track. What do you do?
I don't gamble on them, that's for sure, and that's all I care about. You know. So I think that in handicapping the Breeders' Cup, if I see a horse come in from the east, which is obviously where they'd be coming, otherwise they would have run or trained here, and they're going to run right off the plane on this main track, I'm not playing them. I can play with your money, but not with mine, because it's going to be too difficult. You have to have a race, preferably a race, preferably more than one race, one workout or two, to get not only to get a feel for the track, but to get fit enough to run on this track.
Okay, so what about horses that have been training, obviously on the East Coast, Saratoga up until it closes, horses training at Big Sandy, on the main track, on the training track, Oklahoma, Saratoga. Those tracks are deep as well, Siegel. They are deep.
Those tracks are a brickyard compared to what we have out here. And I'm telling you, I am not...
I'm not buying it.
Okay, fair enough. But I can tell you that I am not going
to... You're not betting on Honor Code? Code of Honor?
Not unless he gets here and breezes. And if he doesn't get here, if he's going to fly off the plane and run a mile and a quarter on this track, no, I'm not. Okay. So we agree to disagree.
All right, that's one.
All right.
That's one. Okay, if Midnight Bisou, Bricks and Mortar, or Sister Charlie complete undefeated seasons with victories in their respective Breeders' Cup races, one of them should be named Horse of the Year, regardless of the outcome of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Agree or disagree?
I agree with that. If one of those three, and they probably all three can win. I mean, Sister Charlie, it will be 4 for 4 if she wins the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. Her task might be a little bit more difficult simply because we don't know what the Euros are. And I don't think 4 for 4 is good enough to make her Horse of the Year. But she could win by default, but I don't think there's any default Horses of the Year this year. Bricks and Mortars, if he wins, he will be 6 for 6. How do you beat that?
Midnight Bisou.
And Midnight Bisou will be 8 for 8. That's how you beat it. So I'm saying that if one of those three, more importantly, Bricks and Mortars or Midnight Bisou, and Sister Charlie, as much as I love her, I don't know that she's had a long enough campaign. But if Bricks and Mortars or Midnight Bisou win, I don't care who wins the Classic, they're not getting Horse of the Year. But the question is, if they both win, then who do you vote for Horse of the Year, if in fact you agree with me on that?
What about, say, Honor Code wins the Classic?
He'll be champion three-year-old.
You don't think he'd get a nod for Horse of the Year?
No, because I don't think he will be beating a great field if he does. In other words...
Code of Honor. I keep going backwards and forwards. Code of Honor.
Right. I know what you mean.
I know what I mean. No one else does.
Well, I know what you mean.
Okay.
But Code of Honor, he will be champion three-year-old. But I don't even think he's a slam dunk for champion three-year-old. We'll talk about that a little bit later down the road. But so you're telling me that if Bricks and Mortars or Midnight Busu or both win and complete an undefeated season, that they won't, one of those two won't be Horse of the Year?
As long as Code of Honor doesn't win the Classic.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it'll be very, very close. I mean, Midnight Busu, if you go undefeated and you go 8-for-8 in the company that she's faced over the course of the last year, it's phenomenal.
Will it be better than Bricks and Mortar?
I don't know.
All right.
So it's a good question.
Okay, so this is you could go either side on this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she'll have a couple more ones next to her name.
Okay.
All right, McKenzie. All right. Will he be the most vulnerable favorite on Breeders' Cup Classic?
First of all, do you think he's going to be favored in the Classic? It's Bob Baffert. It's hometown advantage.
Most likely.
Okay. Then if that's the case...
You're going to get a lot of the East Coast money on the Joel Rosario factor.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. However, if the Mandela trained... Why can't I think of his
name?
Omaha Beach goes in the Classic, he's going to take a lot of money with Mike Smith, who now doesn't have to make the decision of jumping off McKenzie. It was made for him.
All right. First of all, I think McKenzie will go favored. Second of all, he is absolutely... the most vulnerable favorite. Because he, don't forget that McKenzie ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic last year.
Oh, yeah. How could we forget?
He was 7-2. He was well backed. He wasn't the favorite, but I think he was second choice. He finished 12th. He got beat 31 lengths. Now, he ran badly, and you know he's not 31 lengths inferior.
That was a tougher campaign.
I understand. But when I say vulnerable, first of all, he just got beat on the square by Mongolian Groom. Second of all, he was 30 cents on the dollar. Second of all, where in his life does anybody believe he's a mile and a quarter horse?
I'm not arguing
that
fact.
And yet, he's probably going to be the favorite.
I'll disagree with you.
Okay.
Should Omaha Beach go in with Mike Smith and all the buzz surrounding Omaha Beach, Dick Mandela, they're going to be replaying his four Breeders' Cup wins at Santa Anita many moons ago. I think he might take the money.
Well, while you were up in your RV and going through the Redwood Forest or something, Richard Mandela said that he was leaning towards the sprint. Now, he hasn't actually committed there yet.
I'm just saying if.
I know. But to take a horse like Omaha Beach and have him run a mile and a quarter off one sprint following a 4 or 5 month layoff in which you had an entrapped epiglottis and couldn't train... And when you think about the pattern that he would have after winning, if assuming
he'll go to the Pegasus.
Well, he would go to the Malibu and then the Pegasus. Then you could say to yourself, why go in the Classic? The Pegasus is worth more, and you get time to train him up to it. And, of course, he's going to retire next year.
You know, when asked about the retirement,
a
good friend of mine, Dan Ross, who writes for the TDN, said, hey, you know, what about retirement? Are you going to be sad to see him go? Mandela firmly said, well, you know that possession is 9/10 of the law. He said, they're going to have to come and get him off me first.
I think he said the same thing with Into Mischief. He had him, and they yanked him out of his
arm. He said, well, how are you going to stop me? He goes, well, I have a gun.
Might have to use it.
So
McKenzie, I believe he will be the most vulnerable favorite.
I'm with you.
I wouldn't bet 3 cents on him, even though it's a Bob Baffert-trained horse, and I have all the respect in the world for Bob Baffert in Breeders' Cup or in any other race, for that matter. And if anybody can get McKenzie to go a mile and a quarter, it'll be him. But I'm gambling against him. I don't have a pick yet. I want to see how they train. And I want to see if Code of Honor shows up and gets that obligatory workout he needs on this track.
You know what? They might be coming. They might be coming early.
I hope they do.
I got a message from...
I hope they do.
Yeah, they might be coming early.
Then I might end up...
All right, let's stick on the Bob Baffert theme. Will Bob win no more than one race in this year's Breeders' Cup program? 2 days.
Right. So in other words, you're asking me if he's going to win just one or zero.
Correct.
Okay. I don't think he's winning more than one. And I think I know who that one might be. I think I'm more I watch him train, the more I like Eight Rings. But I can't think of any other winner that he would have unless you can refresh my memory.
Improbable will go in the dirt mile, and he's going
to
take some money.
Right.
It's not impossible. Improbable, but he needs to get over his gait flummoxes. And that, if he's ever going to get over that, it's going to be running well here because they can work with him here.
So. I could see him. Okay. I. In fact, he might actually be a gamble for me because in the Pennsylvania Derby, he had no chance. Not only did he blow the break, but he ended up on the quicksand along the rail.
You know, he'd be such a good horse if he could just get it all together.
Right.
Mile for him, knocks him right between the eyeballs. So.
I like Eight Rings, and Improbable would be the other one that I would think would have a chance. But I think those are the two. So I'm going to say no, but I wouldn't put it past Bob.
All right, Dennis's Moment is the best young prospect, better than Shackleford and Not This Time, that Dale Romans has trained in the past 10 years. Agree disagree?
I'm going to say yes, but I want your opinion because I know you're close with Dale. You probably talked to him about this colt. And I like Eight Rings to win the juvenile, but I'm not going to say that Dennis's Moment won't beat him because in case you aren't familiar with him, colt by Tisnow, lost his rider at the start. And then won his maiden by 19 lengths. And then he came back and won the Iroquois, two turning at Churchill Downs by almost two when he was eased up in the final 16th of a mile. And he could have been much better than that.
You don't win any easier than that. A 97 by a speed figure breaking his maiden, a 90 in the Iroquois, geared down like he was tied to a tree.
So do you think he's the best colt that he's had
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing you can possibly say is that we'll never know how good Not This Time could have been.
He would have won the Kentucky Derby.
He was retired early due to a tendon injury. He's standing at stud. His babies are absolutely gorgeous. Mm. So you can say from his form,
right?
You know, this is probably a better horse, but we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Not This Time may be a fantastic stallion.
He might. Of course, he was second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile,
right,
but ran great.
Ran super.
And we were thinking about how he was going to win the Triple Crown or be in the Triple Crown and win the Derby. He never got that chance. Shackleford won the Preakness.
I'll tell you what else,
okay,
and you'll be glad about this. Right. Dennis Moment and the rest of the contingent will be coming out here early.
Uh-huh.
This week to train at Santa Anita. I think they'll have their last breeze Friday at Churchill and then ship out here. So they'll have their final work here. Mm-hmm. And that'll make Jeff Siegel happy. Thank Dale Romans for that.
Well, that's good. I think I have a lot of respect for Dale. He always does the right thing and he's doing the right thing with these, right? And of course, you'll be out there because I know how close you are with Dale. You will be giving me the heads up on that. So,
okay, so that's 1-2-year-old Dennis Moment.
Right.
Let's talk about Honor AP.
Okay.
Is he the best young prospect that Sheriffs has had, John Sheriffs, since Zenyatta?
Yes.
Agree. Okay.
I know, again,
done.
You were in your RV flight coming home, probably at Bakersfield.
I saw it.
Oh, you did see it. Okay.
I actually did get some reception in spots. I actually watched the replay this morning.
All right. Okay, now Honor AP, just for those of you who are not familiar with him, he is a colt from the first crop of Honor Code out of that terrific mare Hollywood Story. They gave him a run at Del Mar, which was smart. First time out, finished second. But
how good was that?
You know, but that was good. And it's, you know, this is what Charlie Whittingham once told me once, and who better than Charlie? You don't even want to win first time out with these 2-year-olds because now you can come back.
And he was tested. He got some dirt.
Right.
He passed
and now you
horses.
Come back against maidens. And you can win that. If you win first time out, you got to go with the grade ones, right? You don't want to do that. So you give him a run. He finishes second. You stretch him out. He wins this maiden race on Sunday. And you know where I saw the race? I was in the Rams 49 game, and I had my little phone out watching the race. I think it was
the
second quarter or first quarter. And I'm watching this race, and Honor AP absolutely just jogged. And he won by five. Tis a Magician was second. He was 10 clear of everybody else. I think it was a 90 buyer number. And now he's not running in the Breeders' Cup. It's too soon. But I think Honor AP.
It's too soon?
Well, it's 2 weeks. You don't want to come back that quick. But Honor AP, to me, is going to be among the very best 3-year-olds in the country next year, if not earlier. And I think he's exciting. I think he's the best racehorse John Sheriffs has had since Zenyatta, and I can't wait to see him develop. He is a massive, exceptional, good-looking colt, and he is a powerhouse.
Have you seen him up close and personal?
Not up close.
Oh, God, he's beautiful.
Yeah.
He's got these big four white socks. When you watch him come galloping down the lane, He looks a little bit like Talismanic with all the white on him because he's got white up over his knees, and he is beautiful. He absolutely galloped home. And I think he's the real deal. They are going to point towards the December 7th cash call for Charity
at LaSalle.
A grade two event. Breeders' Cup completely out of the question. And the Sheriff's Barn heating up. Had a nice Philly by Curlin win on Sunday as well.
Second
time out for Sheriffs.
Sure.
If you don't think John Sheriffs can train a two-year-old, you better look again. He's actually got some very good stats with two-year-olds.
He does, and yet he does it the right way. He doesn't crank them up, and you don't see any 58-1 work. Chris, you couldn't work 58-1 on this track anymore. I don't care if you're Man of War, you know. But, I mean, he takes his time. He develops his horses, and I can't wait to see what Honor AP is going to look like next year. And I think he's going to help Honor Code, because Honor Code, first crop stallion, looks like he's very promising.
Eight winners already. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the things with the Lane's End stallions. They get bred to such good blue hen mares. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see that precocity earlier on. You're going to see it when they stretch out, because they're bred to the cream of the crop. And I think that Honor Code has a very bright future. Honor AP, certainly one to watch. All right, we'll stick with the two-year-olds. In bypassing the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, Champagne Stakes winner Tis the Law forfeits any claim for a year-end Eclipse Award in the two-year-old colt division, no matter what lesser races he may win.
Agree? I agree, because...
Disagree.
I agree. Now, you mentioned Honor Code being a terrific first crop stallion. And Tis the Law is from the first crop of Constitution. So these are the two next superstar
stallions.
Absolutely. Tis the Law won his debut at Saratoga. He wasn't even favored. He did it against State Breeds. He won by four. He did it the right way. Sat fourth, just blew everybody away. Comes back in the Champagne and just crushes. Did not have a good trip. He was down the inside. He didn't break. He stumbled. He was taking dirt. Came away and earned an 89 buyer number, one for fun. To me, this is a colt that he comes out here to California. He wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He is champion two-year-old. But they're not coming. They're not coming.
And I'm right with you. I would love to see Barkley Tag come, because this horse has so much upside. Barkley, again, like John Sheriffs, does everything the slow way, the long way. For a horse to win first time out like he did, this is an exceptional colt. To win again like he did in Grade 1 Company, again, that was October. He's a big, burly, beautiful-looking horse. I know they want him to fill out and grow up a little bit.
I tell you what you got to gain. You can be a champion. You can play Eclipse Award winner as a two-year-old from Constitution. You know how much you're worth. Even if you don't do anything as a three-year-old, you've got a guaranteed stud career ahead of you. And I don't know whether they think in the long run it's better.
It's worked for them if they did it with Funny Side.
Yeah, I understand. But who cared if Funny Side became champion two-year-old? Wasn't going to help him any, right? But as a gelding. But with Tis the Law, he's still going to run this year. It's not like he got hurt. I understand if he
had
issues. I could get that. But he is forfeiting his chance to be a champion two-year-old, because if you want to be a two-year-old, you got to show up.
I agree.
All right.
I agree. I would love to see him out here. And, hey, it's never too late to change your mind, right? It's never too late.
Maybe.
All right. Will there be one winner of a Breeders' Cup race that will pay off 20-1 or more? Agree or disagree?
I'm going to go with the stats on this one.
Now,
I'm going to go with the stats on this one, because you're asking me, is there going to be a 20-1 or better winner in this year's Breeders' Cup? That sounds like a good prop bet for Vegas, you know. Will there or won't there? Well, you would think that, there's a possibility, but it's not likely, right? Do you realize in the last 20 years of Breeders' Cups, there has been one horse or more pay off and win at 20-1 or better 17 of the 20 times we've had a 20-1 winner or more?
I believe it. I mean, there's always a bomb in the Breeders' Cup. There's always a bomb.
Actually, the most formful card actually was in 2015 at Keeneland. I think all the favorites won that day. But if you go look at the list of long shots, and earlier in the Breeders' Cup sequence, back when they first started in 1984 and through 2000, it wasn't that plentiful. But since 1999, the last 20 years, we have had some impossible horses. And again, 17 out of the 20 years, we've had at least one impossible horse win. And I'm thinking, we'll probably have an impossible horse win again. But which one is that going to be?
All right, well, let's read some of them off. We'll start in 2008.
Yeah.
Desert Code, $75, Turf Sprint.
With the MIG. Okay.
2009, Dancing in Silks, Carla Gaines.
Sprint.
These both out here in Southern California.
Right.
Vale of York, Juvenile Turf, 2009.
What did it pay?
$63.20.
Okay.
Furthest Land.
That's a mile.
That was the dirt mile.
$44.60,
2009. Shared Account, $94. Filly and Mare Turf, 2010. Dakota Fone, $77.40 dirt mile. Rhea Antonia here at Santa Anita by DQ. Right. I actually made some money on her. $66. Take Charge Brandy, $125.40 in 2014.
How about Bar of Gold?
Bar of Gold, 2017.
Del Mar, right?
Del Mar, yeah. $135.40. And last year, Shamrock Rose, Filia Mare Sprint, $53.80. It's definitely an agree.
Well, okay. We will have a long shot. It's up to you, the player, to find him. And if you find him, let me know about it.
Exactly. All right. If Maximum Security closes out the year win with two graded stakes versus older competition, will he become champion three-year-old if Honor Code fails to win the Breeders' Cup Classic? Agree or disagree?
Well, it's Code of Honor. Okay.
I'm giving massive props to Honor Code today. I should be getting paid for this.
You should. All right. So Maximum Security, who I think is now sitting second. I don't think he's on top anymore. But he's going to face older horses than the Belmont Stakes. The Bold Ruler at Belmont Stakes. That's October 26th. So that's coming up. If he were to win that race and beat older horses and then win one more, and I don't know what that one more would be, a Cigar Mile maybe? I don't know. Is that coming up too soon? I don't even know when that is. Or maybe come out here running the Malibu Grade 1. He could do that. If he finishes out the year with two graded stakes, hopefully graded one, grade ones, against older horses, would his resume for the year and round look better than Code of Honor if Code of Honor does not win the Breeders' Cup Classic?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't, because at the end of the day, we're going on the stats. And, I mean, they've both gained and lost from disqualification.
They have.
The pair of them.
Well, so Maximum Security is lost, and Code of Honor is gained.
It's gained. Right? So, right. I mean, where do you put them? Is it a draw? Is it a tie?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, without those two DQs, it wouldn't even be close. I mean, Maximum Security. So, and how much of a popularity contest will the vote be? Because this is a vote. It's not like a point system. And I don't know how many of the voters out there are...
Well, I mean, if you think initially that Code of Honor...
You got it.
Thank you. Wasn't coming out here. Yeah. But with a lot on the line, they said, yeah, no, let's go to the Breeders' Cup.
Why not?
Got nothing to lose.
So you don't think he's going to... If that were to happen, if Maximum Security finishes out with two grade ones... Or a grade two and a grade one.
It's got to be something really good. Like, he's got to win by a lot, because this is a game, and I hate to say it, of what have you done for me lately?
I agree.
Like, it's got to be a stellar performance that could be, you know, reminiscent of the Kentucky Derby. Something absolutely amazing.
I don't disagree with you.
In order to grab the headlines. Yep. So that is that. All right, Siegel, that'll do it for Agree or Disagree. Coming up this weekend, of course, we will resume racing here at Santa Anita on Friday.
That's right. Just a three-day week this week. Friday. And
1 o'clock post for all you people out here. Exactly. And we're also gearing up at Laurel Park for the 34th Maryland Million Day Program. Pre-entries have been taken. And on Saturday, it looks like it's going to be an absolutely fantastic car.
It's a great time date for the Maryland Million, because it's kind of out here waiting for the Breeders' Cup. It's like the calm before the storm. Only I hope there's no storm. I want to dry and fast.
Thank you for that.
Exactly, and it's always a great program, great gambling as well. So here at Santa Anita, we'll have a nice Calbred Stakes, but you can play the Laurel races here, obviously, if you come to the races here at Santa Anita. And so get your PPs out. I'm going to get some down and dirty with my handicapping. Hopefully we'll come up with some nice price horses on Maryland Million Day. Big fields almost always. Popular racing. Can't wait for Maryland Million Day coming up Saturday at Laurel Park.
Also this weekend at Santa Anita, the California Flag Handicap and the Sunny Slope on Sunday. So plenty of good betting angles. That'll do it for this weekend's edition of the Backstretch. It's been fun, Siegel.
Yes, and I want you to hit the Backstretch next week. This is the Backstretch, our podcast. I want you to have all that good inside information that people will tell you that they would never tell me. But they will tell you, because everybody loves Zoe, and they will confide.
I'll mic myself up and I'll do the rounds.
You will do the rounds.
All right. Jeff Siegel, I'm Zoe Cabman. We'll see you next week.